ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय डन 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 टुडे वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो 25th चैप्टर द कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स ऑफ किंग पुरंजना टेक्स्ट नंबर 28 त्वं रीर्भवानि अस्य तव ग्रमापतिम् विचिन्वति किं मुनिवद्रहो वने त्वदङ्घ्रिकमप्तसमस्तकामम् क्व पद्मकोशा पतिता कराग्रात् Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. My dear beautiful girl, you're exactly like the goddess of fortune, or the wife of Lord Shiva, or the goddess of learning, the wife of Lord Brahma. Although you must be one of them, I see that you're loitering in this forest. Indeed, you're as silent as the great sages. Is it that you're searching after your own husband? Whoever your husband may be, simply by understanding that you're so faithful to him, he will come to possess all opulences. I think you must be the goddess of fortune, but I do not see the lotus flower in your hand. Therefore, I'm asking you, where have you thrown that lotus? Purport. Everyone thinks that his intelligence is perfect. Sometimes one employs his intelligence in the worship of Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva, in order to obtain a beautiful wife. Sometimes, when one wants to become as learned as Lord Brahma, he employs his intelligence in the worship of the goddess of learning, Saraswati. Sometimes, when one wishes to become as opulent as Lord Vishnu, he worships the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. In this verse, all these inquiries are made by King Puranjana, the living entity, who is bewildered and does not know how to employ his intelligence. Intelligence should be employed in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As soon as one uses his intelligence in this way, the Goddess of Fortune automatically becomes favorable to him. The Goddess of Fortune, Lakshmi, never remains without her husband, Lord Vishnu. Consequently, when one worships Lord Vishnu, he automatically obtains the favor of the Goddess of Fortune. One should not, like Ravan, worship the goddess of fortune alone, for she cannot remain long without her husband. Thus her other name is Chanchala, or restless. In this verse it is clear that Puranjana is representing our intelligence while he is talking with the girl. He not only appreciated the shyness of the girl, but actually became more and more attracted by that shyness. He was actually thinking of becoming her husband, and consequently was asking her whether she was thinking of her prospective husband or whether she was married. This is an example of bhoga ichcha, the desire for enjoyment. One who is attracted by such desires becomes conditioned in this material world, and one who is not so attracted attains liberation. King Puranjan was appreciating the beauty of the girl as if she were the goddess of fortune. But at the same time, he was careful to understand that the goddess of fortune cannot be enjoyed by anyone except Lord Vishnu. Since he doubted whether the girl was the goddess of fortune, he inquired about the lotus flower she was not holding. The material world is also the goddess of fortune, because the material energy works under the direction of Lord Vishnu, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam. The material world cannot be enjoyed by any living entity. If one so desires to enjoy it, he immediately becomes a demon, like Ravan, Hiranyakashipu, or Kamsa. Because Ravan wanted to enjoy the goddess of fortune, Sita Devi, he was vanquished with all his family, wealth and opulence. One can, however, enjoy that Maya bestowed upon the living entity by Lord Vishnu. The satisfaction of one's senses and desires means enjoying Maya, not the goddess of fortune. Hare Krishna. With the blessings of Maharaj, Sheshika Prabhu, all the assembled Vaishnavas. Here in this chapter, Narada Muni is describing the story of Puranjana to King Prachinabharishat. Many lessons can be derived from this wonderful narration. Narada Muni is utilizing the very expert tool or strategy of fully capturing the attention of King Puranjana, King Prachinabharishat, by telling him the story of Puranjana. Now, kings are interested in hearing about other kings. Vaishnavas are interested in hearing stories from great Vaishnavas. Businessmen are interested in hearing stories from great businessmen. So if you want to talk to a person and get their attention, you have to talk to things that are relevant and important to them. So he's talking to the king about another king. And he's telling him about the situation of that king who had all these different personalities surrounding him. Yesterday we heard about these different types of servants and the snake and the other types of entities that are present. So the allegory is that the living entity is actually this personality. And it is surrounded by the 10 senses in the mind. And these senses, they are never ceasing to give the living entity engagement. They're never ceasing to keep the living entity busy. Was there ever a day when our senses gave us a day off? And they said, okay, today is your day. You know, you can just go and hear and chant. I'm not going to bother you. Can you recall that day when that was the case? That your mind or your senses just gave you a day off and said, you know, you've been a faithful servant now for so many years. I'll give you one day off. Like sometimes people come to India and they're surprised that people work 7 days a week. There's no days off and there's practically no vacation. Why? Because there's so many holidays, because they're celebrating the Hindu holidays, the Muslim holidays, the Buddhist holidays, and what else? There's so many holidays, so there's no vacation. So our senses have never given us a day off, and they're very merciless masters. Although we have served them since time immemorial, never have they become satisfied. They continuously keep on nagging and pulling us. During Guru Puja, I saw one young girl. She was trying to get the attention of her father, who was absorbed in the Guru Puja Kirtan. And she kept on nagging him. And she tried to, you know how kids are when they want to get up. They want to get on the shoulders. So I thought, this is like the senses. He's continuously trying to get attention. So I heard this morning a class by Srila Prabhupada where he was mentioning that in Lucknow, there was a Muslim ruler and he had 126 wives. Nowadays in Kali Yuga, if you can keep one lady, one wife happy, you're considered a great saintly person. It's a very great achievement. Now we have these 11, the 10 senses, the Karmendriya, the Gyanendriya, and the mind. And they're continuously pulling us and trying to get our attention. How can we satisfy them? On a material plane, it is not possible. Because, as it is explained by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter, text number 70, just like the rivers which are coming into the ocean, there is continuous flow of desires which are coming to the living entity through those senses. But that ocean should remain still and equipoised without being agitated. So in the same way, all these sense impressions and all these desires are coming to the living entity, but we should remain equipoised without becoming disturbed and agitated. And then, in that way, we can actually practice spiritual life peacefully. The Lord says that peace is attained when we follow this prescription. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada uses a very interesting word. He says, when we are free from the inclination, from the propensity to enjoy the material energy, then we can actually become peaceful. Now, spiritual life is the path of introspection. When we introspect, we see that we have so many inclinations still there in our heart. Just like when coming over here on the flight from Taiwan, they are in the airlines, they're always offering you so many things. And sometimes the living entity becomes confused. So you think, okay, I don't want to eat that meal, but can you at least show it to me? Did that thought ever cross your mind? They said, we have a vegetarian meal. And you know, I don't really need to eat because it's 11:30 at night. But can you show it to me? I would like to see it. Have you ever caught yourself thinking like that? Oh, I'll just go over to the Mahaprasadam stand. I just want to see what's there. Right? Right, yes. Exactly. And we know the rest of the story. So, Srila Prabhupada starts off the purport by saying, everyone thinks that his intelligence is perfect. Now, some people are never wrong, but they're not always right. And we can see in the history of Srimad Bhagavatam, the lives of so many great personalities are described. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra. And what do we hear? We hear sages falling down. We hear demigods taking off and doing very strange things. And sometimes we may wonder, why are these stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Did you ever wonder, why are these stories, these incidents in Srimad Bhagavatam? Because to err is human. To make mistakes is natural for the conditioned living entity. The question is not whether we make mistakes. The question is how often we make mistakes and if we're persistently making the same mistakes. But a devotee is a person who is trying to reform his or her lifestyle, his or her habits. To be a disciple means to have discipline. Without discipline, there is no question of being a disciple. Many times, people come to the Krishna conscious movement and think that the goal of the process is to get initiated because I want to have that name. Because then I will be accepted in the group. I will be part of the group. So I need to get that name. But without having discipline, one is not a disciple. So many people will get initiated, but not everybody is a disciple. Discipulus means conscious control over lifestyle. So here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada touches on some very interesting and very fundamental qualities that are important for all of us. He speaks about the quality of faithfulness, that the intelligence should be faithful to the living entity, to the consciousness, and not be unchaste. Now, usually when we hear faithfulness, we think, okay, that's another one for the ladies, or we think, okay, that quality, that's another one for the men. But actually, faithfulness is a very essential quality for each and every one of us who are trying to practice spiritual life. We can see that to be a faithful follower of the previous acharyas is a fundamental quality of a devotee. Srila Prabhupada said, I have not come here to cheat anybody. I have not cheated anyone. I have given you the process as I've received it from my spiritual master. I have not added anything and I have not subtracted anything from it. That means to be faithful. Now in the process of being faithful, it occurs that while preaching, you have to adapt a detail. And Srila Prabhupada has done that very expertly, as many other acharyas have done that, following the principle of Rupa Goswami of Yukta Vairagya, Anasakta Visavishayan Yataharam Upayunjita Nirbanda Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagyam Uchite. So that principle of Yukta Vairagya is being presented or being exemplified by our acharyas. We saw how Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur made adjustments to the process in order to make it accessible. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did the same, and Srila Prabhupada even more so. So, to make those adjustments means not to change the process. It means to change a detail to make it accessible according to time, place, and circumstance. So to understand the difference between a principle and a detail is very relevant because it is a major source of problems in our lives. If we take details to be very important, and we take principles to be less important. Just like, for instance, the principle that preaching is the essence. You all heard those four axiomatic truths. That preaching is the essence. But how do we preach? That is according to time, place, and circumstance. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went to preach to the Englishman, he wore leather padded shoes and rode in an automobile, in a car. Now, in his times, that was unacceptable for sannyasis. In his private life, he wore wooden shoes or walked barefoot. But for going to preach to the Englishman, he made that adjustment in order to actually get their attention. So, other times, we take details to be the principle, to take them as very important. When I went to the United States for the first time, I believe it was 92 or 93, the devotee said, we're going to the airport to distribute books. And I said, that's great, because that's why I came. I love to distribute books. But then, in the evening, they asked me, how was it? And I said, it was terrible. I hated it. They said, why? I said, the airports are finished. They're burned. It's over, you know. Why don't you go to the colleges? Why don't you go door to door? They said, no! Prabhupada loved the airports. We have to stay in the airports forever. I said, for the next 10,000 years? What if there is no more airplanes? Will you still go out to the airport? Because, So, and now, 20 years later, the devotees are going to the colleges and they're going door to door. Not because I said it, but because there is other venues which are better, which are more receptive, which are more open for sharing Krishna consciousness. So the point was that the intelligence should be faithful and chaste. Many times we see devotees coming to India and trying to go to Radha Kund or to some other Kund to experience some other type of bhav, some other type of rasa, some other flavor. But how many flavors do you want to taste? When you have bhakti ras, when you have kirtan ras, then to have that tendency, oh, let me see what else is there, what more is there, is actually the quality of being unchasteful. And it will lead to ruination. In the same way, like when a wife is not chaste and faithful to her husband, it will lead to ruination of the family. Which leads us to the second quality, shyness. Now, shyness is a natural quality of women, and it is actually a very great attribute, and it is a very wonderful quality. Srila Prabhupada commented how once in his household life, he was talking with a friend in his house, and there was a narrow pathway, and the sweeper lady wanted to pass, so she was just standing there, and she was not talking. She just stood there nearby, and both of them, they had to vacate. They left the room. Why? Because she was shy by her shyness. But if we do not appreciate and respect the women and their feminine qualities of shyness, then what happens? They will become very forceful. They will become very opportunistic. And everything will go to hell. Everything will go for the dogs. So now Kartik is coming. And this is a humble request, just by observing the scenarios in the temple room, that let us be respectful of women and of their shyness and give them the space and the respect that they deserve so they do not have to become assertive like men, which will cause quite some confusion and disturbance. So Srila Prabhupada, he exemplified this principle of Rupa Goswami, of Yukta Vairagya, of doing what was required in order to reach people and to touch their hearts for giving them Krishna consciousness. And this is very wonderfully exemplified by the process that Srila Prabhupada has given to us. Now, I have a question for you. Who here is a Sankirtan devotee? Okay. It's still early in the morning before breakfast, so you may not feel so energetic. What kind of a devotee are you? Are you chanting Hare Krishna? I see you chanting and smiling. So that means you are a Sankirtan devotee. What kind of a devotee are you? You are a Sankirtan devotee. Thank you. Well, if you're chanting Hare Krishna, you are a Sankirtan devotee. Because this is the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We do not have kitchen devotees and manager devotees and I'm a grihastha or a businessman devotee or I'm a temple president devotee. We only have one type of devotee and that is Sankirtan devotee. Thank you for your great audience participation. I knew it. It was worth it coming here to Balaram Hall today. So, in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's times, all the devotees had different social positions, different occupations, different works, and different customs in society. But they were all taking part in the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everybody was just looking down that street. When will Nitai and Gaur come dancing down that street? Not so they could quit their jobs and run out and take part in the Sankirtan, but they were yearning for that. They were hankering for that. That was their absorption. That was their meditation, their focus. So, what is my focus? What is my meditation? Why have I come to Vrindavan? Have I come to Vrindavan as a beggar to beg Shishi Radhishyam, Krishna Balaram, Shigornitai, Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas for service? Or have I come here with an ulterior motive? Have I come here with some other sort of agenda? A duplicious agenda? Let us introspect. We still have a day before Kartik starts officially. So today we can make inventory and see what is there in my heart. What are my motivations? Criminal psychology, they say motive is everything. If you don't have a motive, you don't have a case. Just like you travel a bit, people on the border, they sometimes ask you, why have you come here? Right? What's the purpose of your visit to this country? And it's always kind of interesting to hear that question. So, once Srila Prabhupada was asked the same question in England, and he said, you Britishers ruled this country for so many centuries, and when you left, you looted so much wealth, but you forgot to take the most valuable jewel, Bhagavad Gita, this Vedic knowledge, and have come to give you what you have forgotten to take. So we're not traveling as tourists. We're not coming here for shopping, for sightseeing, or for other things, or for social agenda. We're coming here to beg for the holy name of Krishna. And who can deliver that holy name of Krishna to us? The devotees. The devotees who have dedicated their lives to the preaching of the propagation of the holy name of the Lord. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, and it's recorded in the book Amritavani, that if we want to make tangible spiritual progress, we have to associate with living devotees. We have to find pure devotees and hear for them about Krishna Katha. Srinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantakstoya Badrani Vidunoti Suritsatam. Then all the things that are troublesome to the heart will almost entirely be vanquished. Right now, we're still suffering. I don't know about you. You look pretty fine. You look pretty okay to me. But I am suffering because I am still afflicted by Bhavaroga. I still have this different types of ideas that are going on. And it is afflicting my life. So I'm begging the Vaishnavas to bestow their mercy upon me. Because the mercy of the Vaishnavas, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, that is the stick by which we can walk. We may be old, we may be lame, we may be crippled, disqualified, but if we have the mercy of the Vaishnavas, by that mercy, by that stick, we can walk. That is our only claim. So Srila Prabhupada, he gave his mercy very freely. He was very accessible. Srila Prabhupada practically every day was holding darshan in the afternoons for several hours. He had open doors. He was available and he was accessible. So as Prabhupada Anugas, let us follow in Srila Prabhupada's footsteps and be available and accessible to the people who are in our universe, who are in our little circle of influence. And this will make a huge difference in their lives. Just like I'm sure many of you have met people, or you have personally associated with Srila Prabhupada, or you have met people who were touched by Srila Prabhupada. And it's very, very deeply inspiring to associate with such personalities. So, we had a little preaching tour up in Rishikesh with some friends, and for 2 weeks we were chanting through the town and holding lunch programs and preaching and doing so many things. After the whole episode was over, the conclusion that I took away from there was that when I heard the feedback from Gopal Prabhu, he also came with a few of his friends from the 24-hour kirtan, and they stayed on for a few more days afterwards. And they met a French couple and also an Italian lady. And Gopal made friends with them and invited them to Vrindavan. And they came and they stayed with him and his family. And just by being and living with the devotees, they practically became devotees. So, this shows it's great that we go out and we do so many things for the mission of Srila Prabhupada, but we should never forget that we should be available and accessible to people to share with them Krishna consciousness on a very personal and in a very direct way. And that this will actually make a difference. This will actually rub off. There's another bhakta in Flagstaff, Arizona. He went to the local university and he just sat down on the lawn of the university on the grass, and 5 days a week for an hour he was chanting Hare Krishna. And students just came and sat down next to him. And they liked the music, so they started chanting along. When the university people wanted to get rid of him, they said, "We're just having some music here, you know? What's your problem? What are you complaining about?" Then he took a little loft less than a mile away from the university and held 3 times weekly programs. One evening was movie night. One evening was discussion on philosophy, and one evening was the Sunday feast with a little Bhagavad Gita talk. And after 8 months, 5 people joined, and they're now in the Denver temple. Why? Because he was sharing his realization, he was sharing his heart with those people. Now nobody had told him that it's not possible. That's why he went out and he did it. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada wanted each and every one of us to have that faith. Shraddha shabde vishvash kahe sudri danish choy. Shraddha, to have that faith is a very essential quality. Now how do we get that faith? We get it from devotees who have that strong faith. So if we ever feel a little slack and not so inspired in our devotional life, let us associate with devotees who are very strong in their faith, in their taste for the holy name of Krishna. And it will rub off on us. It will actually, that spark will jump over and it will enlighten us and we'll become influenced by it. I took a night train in Kiev to Donetsk in the Ukraine a few months ago, and when you board the night trains, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of commotions in the train station. So I was there in the corridor of the train and two big fellows came into the train, and they were both shaven-headed. They had very strong necks and very muscular bodies with tight t-shirts. So they walked up to me. They looked very intimidating. And one of them came right in my face and he said, "Krishnait? You know, are you a Hare Krishna?" And I was like, "Well, I guess so, yeah. I think. Last time I checked, yes, I was still a Hare Krishna." So I said, "Yeah." He said, "Thank you for giving this knowledge to all the people." I said, "Oh, okay, okay." "Very nice meeting you too." So they had the compartment next to us. And, you know, when you hear Ukraine, you think like, you know, like, anyway. So, then he came out and he wanted to know how he should chant Hare Krishna, whether he should chant Om Tat Sat, or he should chant Om, or he should chant on beads, or how does this chanting work. And he took instructions on chanting, and he bought books and he gave a donation. And then the next morning, the devotee who was traveling with me told me, we should give them prasadam. He needs prasadam. Because he was there with his friend, with his wife, their son, and his mother. So it was a whole family thing. And so I said, I don't have any prasadam to give to him. Because I'm on a night train. Why do I need prasadam, right? Right. But the devotees in Kiev had given me this huge bag of mahaprasadam. And I didn't even think about it. Just put it aside. So as a rule, if somebody offers you prasadam, never refuse it, okay? Always accept it. It may not be for you. You may just be the messenger. You're just carrying it for somebody else. So what do devotees think? I'm sitting on my night train and stuffing my face all night up there with samosas and sweet balls. So, in the morning, we knocked on the other compartment and they opened the door, and on the table there was some bottles of beer and vodka and some unmentionable things, and you know, the atmosphere in the train in the morning. But then we brought the prasadam and put the prasadam on the table. And they were all, wow, what is this? So they all started taking prasadam. And then we arrived at the station in Donetsk. And even though it was April, it was 6 degrees and it was raining. It was just fairly above freezing. And the devotees were not there. And I thought, oh no, okay, it's one of those days. All right, fine. Krishna wants me to be a little humble. So you just wait. What else can you do? And you chant. And after 5 minutes, the devotees came running. You know, maybe they went to the wrong train station or something. So, and they gave me this huge garland. So, just at that moment, the family came out of the train. And the grandmother was holding the little boy on her shoulder. And I took the garland and I put it on the little fella. And the grandmother was like, wow. The little guy felt like he was the prince of the train station. The whole family was totally in ecstasy. They were all blissed out. That same evening, that man came to the temple and he attended 4-hour program. All seminar, lecture, kirtan, prasadam. He bought books. And he says, now my family is convinced about Krishna consciousness. Before they had many doubts. But now they're convinced that the devotees, this is the real thing. You're like family. So it's great that we go out and distribute books, but it's not enough. It's great that we go out and do kirtan and harinam, but it's not enough. It's great we distribute prasadam, but it's not enough. What is required? We all have to give what we have received to the people freely. And these are those three primary gifts, but people also want to spend time with the devotees and have their questions answered. Each and every one of us is here because some devotee cared for us. Is that right? Any exceptions to that rule? Anybody just went to the library and bought a book and said, by my own intelligence, I have decided that this is the right thing. Anybody here? Yeah? Okay, there is one rare soul. But for the most part, we saw those super special people and they touched our hearts. And we thought, I want to become like this person. When I came to the Zurich temple in 1984, I saw Rohini Sudha Prabhu and Harinamananda Prabhu. And they were glowing. They were glowing. And I thought, wow, I never seen people like that. I want to become like him. So, please, give your association freely to all the people that you meet. And that means being a loyal and faithful and chaste follower of Srila Prabhupada. Now Gop Kumar, on his journey throughout the universe, whatever he desired became reality. He was moving very quickly according to his desires. But he was always protected because he was faithful to the instructions of his spiritual master and he kept on chanting his japa. He kept on chanting the mantra that he had been given by his guru. So, let us pray to Srila Prabhupada and to all the devotees that we can remain loyal and faithful followers of the Guru Parampara, and in this way also exemplify this quality of shyness. Gop Kumar is described as having been a little bit naive to the ways of this world. But actually, that simplicity, that simple heart, saved him from getting stuck on any of these places or in any of these situations. Of course, there's a lot more that can be said here from this purport. Srila Prabhupada, he very wonderfully summed it up. I'd just like to mention the other topic, that we should always see the energy as part of the energetic source. That we never see the beauty of this world as separate from Krishna. Otherwise, we will become like Ravan, who tried to kidnap Sita. So to always see everything in this world as part of Krishna, and to see that it's to be used in Krishna's service, this will keep us on the safe path for going back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Questions or reflections, please? It says here, in the verse, the goddess of learning, the wife of Lord Brahma. Is that okay with you? Any other questions? Omkar Prabhu? Well, sometimes... Question is, how does the mercy of the devotees look like, and how do I know whether I got the mercy of the devotees? Well, sometimes the mercy of the devotee is that you become neglected. Just like when you give class in Balaram Hall, and people walk by on that path, you know, and they peek into the door. Oh, nah, it's one of those young kids. Okay, close the door. I walk on, you know. So, sometimes the mercy of the devotee is that they neglect you. How do you know that you got the mercy? You feel like, wow. Like there's some effect on your consciousness. You can actually access your consciousness, you know? Your intelligence, which usually is a little bit hazy, a little bit cloudy, you know? All of a sudden it becomes like, wow. It's like when you take wasabi. You know wasabi? That horseradish, you know? It's like you get that real clear, stark effect. So sometimes the mercy may be very sweet, and sometimes the mercy may be in a different way. But how do we know we got the mercy? That we actually have a taste for hearing and chanting. Our affinity in the heart for hearing and chanting actually develops. Our absorption actually develops. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantas chadridavrata namashantas chamam bhakta nitya yukta upasate. This is our absorption. This is our goal. This is our aspiration. And even though there might be other things that might be important to us, but we have our priorities. Just like Parikshit Maharaj. When he got that news that he had 7 days to live, he walked. On that very moment, he walked. And he took care of business. And he sat down and heard Srimad Bhagavatam. Are we ready to walk? We don't know whether we have 7 days. So, what is my absorption in Srimad Bhagavatam? We had one in the back, Mataji? No? Pushkar is the only place where Brahma is worshipped. And? Savitri Mandir. Okay. So it's possible that he had many wives. Yes. Okay, let's take it one time, okay? That imperceivable advancement is the question. What about that imperceivable advancement? Well, it is going in stages, gradual. That's why we can't really perceive it. That's why it's imperceivable to us. Because we don't see the before and after. Have you ever picked up a picture from you like 20 or 30 years ago and you looked at that fellow and you thought like, wow, you know, I was in bad Maya. You know, but if you think yesterday wasn't so bad, right? I was doing okay yesterday. It's like the frog, you know, in the pot, and you turn the heat on gradually. like that. So it goes in gradual increments. That's why we can't really perceive it. Second question. What's your question? Can you just find that one sentence with a question mark, please? Explanations. Thank you. So the question is, did King Prachinabharisha just understood the topic by the way how Narada Muni spoke it, or did he need some explanation? Well, there's two answers to that. First of all, he got the explanation by Narada Muni because he is giving him detailed description. The chapters go on. It's not just sutra form. But also, people were very intelligent. People were very, very intelligent. So simply by hearing something, it struck them so profoundly that they could actually connect the dots. Now, even though we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're hearing Bhagavatam every day, we're associating with devotees, and we have stepped on hundreds of rakes and gotten so many kicks in our face, we still can't see the forest for the trees. So that means we're very unfortunate. We're very, very unfortunate. Manda sumanda mataya, manda bhagya hyupadritaha. So, we qualify for that special mercy of Lord Nityananda. We need that special mercy, which is delivered to us through the Guru Parampara, through the Vaishnavas. So we can actually understand. And we don't think this is some nice stories or this is some nice philosophy, but not very practical right now for our day and age. Srimad Bhagavatam is very relevant. It is very practical. If we actually read the scripture and we apply it in our lives, we find how it is the most relevant to each and every one of our interactions that we're having. Spiritually, socially, psychologically, philosophically, it's all there. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. And because it is the topmost Purana, it is so complete, the devotees cherish it and relish it so much. I will close with one little short story. In Kiev at the Sunday feast, in front of 500 people, an 11-year-old girl asked the question, how she can complete her set of Srimad Bhagavatam. She's missing four volumes. And she was so much interested in getting all the books so she can read Srimad Bhagavatam. So that was her question. So we answered that. And then she told us that her mother is selling prasadam on the marketplace. She's making samosas. And the lady who supplies the cheese inside the samosas, she died a week ago. But the girl told me that she knows that this lady got a good destination because she bought a book from that girl and because she was supplying the cheese for prasadam distribution. And I was wondering, how can an 11-year-old girl have so much taste for reading Srimad Bhagavatam? That's the question on the mind of an 11-year-old girl. That's what she wants. She wants to have all the volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam. And she has so much faith in the process. How is that possible? But by good association. That by her mother, by the devotees that she's associating with, she has gotten this taste and this absorption, this attraction for Krishna. So, absorption, attraction, it is very powerful. We cannot stay on neutral grounds. We are tatastha. We are the marginal energy. We have to take shelter of either the internal or the external energy of the Lord. So, let us cultivate this affinity for chanting the holy name of Krishna and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of Vaishnavas. There is no entrance in Radha Krishna Seva without engaging in the performance of Harinam Sankirtan to worship Sri Sri Gaur Nithai. So Srila Prabhupada has given us this process. Sometimes devotees say in the places I visit, oh, you know, we don't have a community here. You know, there's no community here. And I say, well, what does a community consist of? Like, commune, what does it mean? Like the community hall. It means where the commoners, the common people, they get together to do common things, right? So like here, we're people from all over the world. We have different backgrounds, different habits, different interests. What is that common thing that keeps us all together? Krishna consciousness, yes, which means Harinam Sankirtan. This is our common interest. We're meeting on the common ground of engaging in Harinam Sankirtan. But if we take that common goal out of the equation, then we think, who is he? Who is that one? I don't like her. I don't like anybody. I don't even like myself. You know? Why am I here? What's going on? We become confused. So, we can gain that affinity by associating with devotees who are absorbed. That's a new one. Thank you for saving us from further diversions. Thank you for your patience and your attention. Srila Prabhupada ki. Harinam Sankirtan Yagya ki. Gaur Premanandi. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki.